first reading this morning will be taken from the book of James. We'll be in the fourth chapter. I'll be reading verses 13 through 15. James 4, 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always so thankful for the opportunities we have to be with one another, to worship God in spirit and in truth. So many things to be thankful for and so many things to be mindful of. We're thankful for Jeff and songs, and we're thankful for the scripture reading from Nikki, and thankful for the prayer. Always thankful for those things. As we switch from quarter to quarter, I'm sure I'll forget somebody, but we're so thankful for our teachers who just taught our third quarter for us. So thankful for Lindsay. Very thankful for her and having one of my little ones. So I know how much that is. So very thankful for Lindsay. Very thankful for Emily and Amy teaming up on that class, and very thankful for them. And also with another one of my little ones. So very thankful for that. Thankful for Jean, and thankful for Mark and their service in those classes, and thankful for Brother Harvey and helping out with the team. And we're so thankful for the teachers that have come in this next quarter. I know we've had a few hiccups with COVID, which is understandable, and we're thankful for the people that have that stood up this morning, Mark and Emily, subbing in and helping them out. We're so very thankful for them. So thankful that we have so many people that are willing to help and assist and stand up when needed. In those different areas that are not always have the spotlight on them, but are yet so important to our young people and so important to them. Sorry to hear about that, Brother Roy. My grandpa actually passed on Monday this week, and I got to tell people on Wednesday, but I've kind of been busy with Sarah and so many things, and certainly that's been on my mind this week as I've been reflecting. And certainly when we think of a passing of a loved one, there's many things that go through our mind. And one of the things that certainly came into my mind was James chapter 4. And that's where we're going to be spending our time this morning as we try to reflect and remind ourselves of an idea that the Bible wants us to constantly be reminded of. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, we start to see a picture that's painted for us. And really, James chapter 4, starting in verse 13, I'd say that the picture isn't necessarily the worst picture that you can have until you realize what's been left out. Because I would say that I would definitely find myself in part of James chapter 4, but I don't want to stay there in terms of leaving God out. You know, we all have plans in life. We have career plans. We have plans for our family. We think that we might go to this place or go to that place, and maybe we have these things already on our calendar, things that we want to do with our family, things that we want to achieve, things that we want to accomplish, things that we want to get done. But is God in your future plans? You know, our world is constantly changing, and certainly if we would go back a few generations and if we could get those generations and say, look at how the world is today, you know, you think of medicine, how many things have changed. We think of the world around us. We think of countries and their borders and laws and things, and even technology developments. How many things change over time? Certainly there's so many things that change, but certainly time rolls on. You know, certainly I think as we look at James chapter 4, it's trying to send us a clear message. It's all right to make plans. Plans are okay. But you can't leave God out of those plans. And that's certainly what we're going to be focusing on this morning. James chapter 4 and verse 13, the first thing that we see there are plans that are laid. James chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell, and make a profit." You know, we see plans there. And the Bible certainly has ideas about us providing for our families. There's nothing wrong about providing for our families. There's nothing wrong about, I think, having plans. But as we read chapter 4 and verse 13, it seems like for a moment we realize there are plans there, but God has been left out. You know, there was a lot of New Year's resolutions that have been made, and hopefully you're staying on some of those goals that you've set for yourself. But were God included? Was He included in those plans? Was He brought in through prayer? Was He brought in your thought process as you were planning out things that you planned to accomplish? Even on the physical plane of life, God cannot be left out. We cannot leave Him out of that. So when we read chapter 4 and verse 13, although some of these things are fine in and of themselves, but as soon as we read God out of the equation, it can certainly cause a lot of issues. It's like presumptive planning. It's almost planning, assuming everything on ourselves, but not trying to factor God into the equation at all. Have you factored God into the equation as you make your plans for the year, as you make plans for your life, as you make plans for your family? Making plans is not a bad thing. In fact, I think the Bible would actually lead us that direction. I don't think God wants us to be a people without direction. I don't think God that doesn't want us to have goals and ambitions in life, but certainly we can't leave God out. And I think that's what we get a little picture of in James chapter 4 and verse 13 there, is we have plans. We have plans in relation to time, do we not? Today or tomorrow, we have plans in relation to travel. Says today or tomorrow, we will go. There's plans in relation to time. There's plans in relation to travel. There's plans in relation to tasks. It says, I'm going to go to such and such a city and spend a year there. Buy and sell, there are certain tasks that are laid out, and even we see transactions of sell and make a profit. I don't think it's a bad thing for us to consider our time. I don't think it's a bad thing for us to consider our travel. I don't think it's a bad thing to consider our tasks, and I don't think it's bad to consider transactions. But do you leave God out of the equation? When you're making plans on the physical plane of life, are you considering God? Is He there? Is He considered? God has given us such a valuable thing of time, and how many times perhaps we take it for granted, and the one who gives us all of our time, He has never factored in when we try to make decisions about our time. You know, you are to be commended to be here today, to worship our Lord, to remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But certainly there's a lot of people that, as they consider their time, the time that God has given them, somehow God has been left out of the first day of the week. And sometimes, many times, God is left out when it comes to Sunday evening and Wednesday. There's so many things that come at our time that God is the giver of all time, and perhaps He should be the receiver of those things. When you plan out things, are you considering God in your time? Perhaps somebody that meets the profile of James chapter 4 and verse 13, we can find in Luke chapter 12. We have that rich fool, as he is called. It says, then, Luke chapter 12, verses 13 and following, says, then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell me, brother, to divide his inheritance with me. And he said to him, well, we're just going to go down just a little bit farther there. And verse 16, he said, he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room in my store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns, I will build greater barns, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So it is he who lays up treasure for himself and not rich towards God. You know, in Luke chapter 12, once again, we find some things that by themselves, they are, I think, sinful. Because we have the focus on physical things, and what has this rich individual left out of consideration? The rich individual appears to be very organized. this individual appears to be very successful. And we even see a plan of taking care of the plentiful crop that he has. I don't have enough space, so I'm going to tear down these old barns and build new. We see organization, we see planning. There's certainly good things there, but what is left out? How does God look at the individual that focuses just on the world and not spiritual things? He says, you fool, your soul will be required of you. You understand that we don't have so much time here on planet Earth. We have so much time, and when we think about the giver of our time, are all our pursuits focused on the physical, and how much is left for the spiritual? We understand that there are certain things that have to be done, that certain things that have to be accomplished. Certainly there are Bible ideas that talk about providing for our families and things like that. But when our focus gets so far away from spiritual things, we're certainly in danger. Do you consider your time, the time that God has given? Nothing's wrong with business or work. Nothing's wrong with utilizing your talents and being grateful for the opportunities which God has provided. However, when we go to the point where God is out of our focus and God is not number one, we have fallen into a trap that I believe Satan set for us on many occasions. One that I think perhaps, as we find ourselves in one of the richest nations in the world, perhaps we should pause and consider our life and consider the things that we have around us and consider where the spiritual things fall in my life. Because perhaps the Christian in the United States falls into this temptation perhaps more than people in other countries where the access to opportunity and wealth is not so easily accessible. Where is your focus? What did Jesus say to the man that we find in Luke chapter 12? He calls him a fool because he put his focus on the wrong things. Where is your focus in this short time that we have together here on planet Earth? You know, there are many commands given out to those that are wealthy in the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. It's sad so many times how easily we can get distracted by physical things. Physical things that the Bible tells us are passing away. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17 it says, the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of the Lord abides forever. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7 it says, for you brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that you'll carry nothing out. Where is your focus? You know, with so many things in our lives, there's a balance. I think the Bible does not want us to be people walking around with no plan. I think the Bible also, when we look at it, the Bible would be against no plans, and I think the Bible would be against plans in our lives. Well, where's the perfect middle? Plans with God. The Bible doesn't want you walking around with no plans. Not considering your family, not considering things around you. The Bible wants you to consider such things. He doesn't want you walking around with no plans. Of course, I think that we would be in violation if we had no plans of redeeming our time, making the best use of our time, redeeming our time so the days are evil. Certainly, God wants us to make the best use of our time. But He doesn't want us to go about making plans in the world without Him. When we leave God out and we do not consider Him in our pursuits in life, aren't we making a grave error? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are you making plans without God? Because when we read James chapter 4 and verse 13, I think what we're getting the idea of is we have plans being made, but God is not being considered. But you know there's a problem with plans. Even the best plans that you lay in life, you might think you're calm, collected, you've gathered all the facts, you've gathered all the data, and you lay out your plan. You know what? There's a problem with plans. And it's brought up in James chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. You know, that's the problem with any plans that are made. I'm not saying that we don't make plans. I think the Bible pushes us to have a more planned life. But you know what? There's a problem with plans, is we can't predict the future. You know, the future in the best of situations is uncertain. I can't tell you how many times there's a little saying that says, don't underestimate how long you can be. There's a few times in life I've been caught with that. Don't underestimate how long you can be. There's a few times where I thought, this is exactly what's going to happen. I'm certain of it. I've read on this issue. I've talked to other people that are experts on this. And I'm certain this is what's going to happen. And you know what? That's not what happens. Don't underestimate how long you can be. The best laid plans can still be uncertain. Isn't that what the Bible's saying there in chapter 4 and verse 14? It says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And that's something else they consider is just the shortness of life in general. There are many challenges in life, and one of the challenges that we face in life is that we face an uncertain future every day. Now, some people feel that, I believe, more than others, and I think God tries to help us with that. He tries to help us that when we become Christians, we can switch our mind to more of a spiritual focus, and we can focus on some things that are certain and are promised, and that helps us with an uncertain tomorrow. Because I know whatever happens, I've become a Christian, my sins have been washed away, I have the promise of eternal life. Of course, we understand the idea of being faithful. But if we walk in the light, if He is in the light, He's constantly cleansing us of those sins as we turn to Him when we fall short. But God tries to help us with an uncertain future by giving us something that's there. But you know what? We are not promised tomorrow. How many times in your life has it changed in less than a second? Mine has. And you remember those events in your life? Remember when my father-in-law slipped off the roof? Everything was going fine, and in a split second, everything changed. All of a sudden, priorities got reordered in a second. All of a sudden, it wasn't important, the wood that I was unloading out of the back of my truck. There's all kinds of things that got reordered in that second. In a split second, everything changed. Whereas, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. We face an uncertain future at best in relation to our physical days. But God tries to help us with giving us the certainty of our spiritual end. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Isn't that the truth? You can have the best plans ever, but really, there's things that can happen on the job. There are things that can happen on the road, on the way to the job. There are things that can happen in your body in terms of health issues. You didn't even know that they were there, and then all of a sudden they're there. Uncertain at best. And I think God tries to help us with that uncertainty by giving us something certain in our spiritual lives. But we make great plans. We can have plans. We better have God tied into those plans because we understand that tomorrow is uncertain at best. Have you thought about that? An uncontrollable future? You know what? If you could predict the future 51% of the time, you'd be a rich person. 51% of the time, I mean, you really think about it. If you really had that good of a gauge of the future, if you could be right 51% of the time, you'd be in a pretty good spot. 51% of the time. And then some of you, that's boosting your confidence. You're like, yeah, I think I might be able to shoot for that 51%. But we start to realize how many times we are not quite there. An uncertain future at best. Don't underestimate how long you can be. I've been caught more times than I care to admit. You even look at our news. What does our news tend to focus on? Our news tries to focus on the past and what's live. They try not to mess with the future too much because we get in trouble. You know, the weather people. I don't think they're always happy because they're like, they're trying to tell you what's going to happen. They're trying to tell you what's going to happen. You know what? You're a few hours off. Not only were you a few hours off, it never came. You know, they're doing the best they can. They're making educated guess. I'm not trying to be hard on them. But you think about our news. They focus on the past and they try to focus on what's live. They don't try to dibble in the future too often because they realize when they dibble in that, they realize how many times they made mistakes and how many times they're wrong. Life is temporal. Life is temporary. We understand that, don't we? In verse 14, it says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We understand that we're here for just a short time. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them after, seeing them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Have you embraced that fact, that you're a stranger and pilgrim on the earth? You know, if you think of however many years you live in relation to eternity, what a short time that we have. Psalm 89 and verse 47, it says, remember how short my time is. It's really not that long. The Bible kind of talks about 70 years. It kind of throws that out there. Of course, we know that many of us will die before, many of us will perhaps die after, you know, with the Lord not coming back in the consideration, but 70 years is not that long. In fact, if you start thinking 70 years in relation to your life, what quarter are you in? And you're like, well, I'm beyond 70. And I'm not trying to be mean or pessimistic or anything of that nature, but the Bible wants us to be reminded of this. Actually, it says we'll be wise if we number our days. Why? Because we'll keep things in perspective that are actually important. Friends, family, faith. Really, I mean, you think about those things that the Bible tries to point us towards and say, these are the things that are most important, and when do we lose perspective of that? When we think we're going to live forever. When we think that we can't be touched. When we have an unlimited amount of time, we have an unlimited amount of years, and then all of a sudden you think, whoa, my years might be restricted here. I will not live forever. And you know what? It helps you get your priorities in order. Are you leaving God out of your plans? Because if you're leaving God out of your plans, you understand that we are already facing uncertainty. We are already facing a shortness of life. Do you think about those problems? Do you consider those things? You know, Sarah, my mom always made photo albums, and I've always been very thankful for those. Sarah, you know, she's in the new technology, so she'll take all her pictures, and she'll make a video every year for our kids. And I can't watch that video without crying. I'm just being quite frank and honest. This is about the hardest thing for me to watch because it's like that. It's like they went from talking, not talking to talking, you know, not walking to walking. It's the hardest thing for me to watch. And Sarah kind of gets irritated with me because I'm about to step out of the room. It is hard for me to watch how fast things are going and I can't slow them down. Isn't that what it's saying here in verse 14? It says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. If we can focus on these things, it will move us to trying to get our priorities in order in relation to our spiritual life, because we understand that our spiritual life will go on forever. How quickly life passes. We remember just a few days ago, well, a few days ago is now a few years ago, which is now a few decades ago. It seems to go so very fast. And we understand that we'll come to an end. Nobody's making it out of life alive. Unless the Lord comes back, but then, you know what? He's going to take this body that's wearing down, because we know that this body's not designed to go forever. We read Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It talks about our eyes wearing down. It talks about our ears wearing down. It talks about our bodies wearing down. This body wasn't designed to go forever. God has promised us a new body that will go on for eternity. Our life will be cut off, our physical body. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, it's appointed for man to die once, but after the judgment. Number one, we see in verse 13, we see plans. In verse 14, we start to see problems. What are the problems? That even with the best laid plans, we understand the uncertainty, and then we also understand that life will come to an end. It is certainly short. The last thing I'd like to consider is principles. Based off the plans that are laid without God, and based off the problems that we see, the shortness of life, what principles can we take away? Chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, instead we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. There in verse 15, it says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You know, we'll be wise with the days that God has given us. It's not a whole lot of time. Will we be wise with the time that has been given? You know, it's interesting time when you consider it. You know, if I said I was going to give you $24 a day, you know. But you can't use it on the future, and you can't use it on the past. You can just use it on that day. You know, what would you do with that $24? Some of you are like, well, with inflation, I'm not going too much for $24. Okay, we'll give you $240, okay? $240. I give you $240 a day. What are you going to do with that $240? You can't spend it on the future. You can't save it. You just got to use it. You know, that's what God does to us. He's given us a check every day that we're alive for $240. You can't use it on the past. You can't use it on the future. You can just use it today. What are you going to use it for? How are you going to use it? And you think about that, the idea of God giving us something, God giving us time. If God gave you $240, you think that maybe you should give some of that $240 back to God? Just a thought. If He gives you 24 hours a day, it doesn't matter if you're a king or the president of the United States. It doesn't matter if you find yourself in the lowest of situations. We all are granted with that blessing. That's a blessing that we all receive. 24 hours a day. He gives it to you. Will you use some of it on your family? Will you use some of it on your friends? Will you use some of it in relation to your faith? Or will you squander the time that is given? Will you not view the time that God has given as a gift? That is to be received with thankfulness, but with that thankfulness perhaps given some back. I think one of the principles is to think about our shortness of life. In Psalm 90 and verse 12 it says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Do you think about that from time to time? Do you think about your days, the number of days that you have, the number of days that God has given and has blessed you with? Do you think about that? Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. How wise are you with the time which God has given? Have you given any of that time back to God? He gives you 24 each day. You know, it's interesting. We look at that 24, and I fall prey to this just as anybody else. And what do I ask for many times? More time. He's already blessed me with 24. Can I be thankful for that which is given? You know, you kind of look at it. He's already given you 24, and you're going to go to Him and ask for more? He's already given you 24. We use that time which God has given. You know, some of the time which God has given, I think we look at ourselves in the mirror, we realize that we've wasted some time on occasion. And you know what? We wasted it, and you know what He does the next day? He gives another 24. You know, you think about that $240 thing. You know, somebody gave you $240 and they saw that you just went and blew it and you didn't use it the way that you should. Some people are like, I might not give them that money again. I mean, they just blew it. But you know what? Our God, our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, He says, I'm going to give you this each day. What a blessing. He's blessed us once again with time. You know, time is so precious. You know, you do think about money. But you can always make more money, I've heard it said, and I think there's a little truth in that. I can't quite get more time. I get 24 hours a day. Now, I'm not saying that time can't give you freedom here or there. Certainly there's some, you know, but you think about it, you really can't buy time off the Lord. He's just giving everybody the same amount. Very fair, very merciful, very gracious, and distributing the time to all of us. We use it wisely. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do you use the best of the time that is given? We're certainly not perfect, but when we consider the shortness of our life, we pray that we'll use that idea to number our days and make sure that we are focused on those things that God would want us to focus on. When you're making your plans, make sure you weave God in. Make sure He's a part of them. Through prayer, through study, through application, make sure God's part of your plan. He tells us to seek Him first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Is that in your plan for today? Is that in your plan for tomorrow? Is that your plan throughout your life? He's given you all your time. Will you make sure that you always are giving some back to Him? You know, you think about time, I certainly think of Jesus Christ and the limited time that He spent here. You know, you think about Jesus, who comes, and we're dealing with approximately 33 years. Have you had more time than Jesus had? Jesus came, and what did he do with those years? Certainly made the best of them, but you know what? He really gave them to others. Perhaps that's one of the most valuable things we can do as we're here, is the time that God gives us, if we can give it back in some way, what a beautiful thing that is. He gave his time. He said he came and lived a life of pleasure. That's not what he did. He said, I'm coming, and I am giving my time to you as a sacrifice. Will we give our time back to the Lord? You know, I think of Jesus, all that he went through, many things that were not pleasurable, many things that were not comfortable, many things that I think you could maybe even put your finger on at times and say, you know what? Could he even desire such a thing? To have a whip, to have the nails, to be spat upon. It was a sacrifice of his time, a sacrifice of his love. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He gave it all for us. You know, when this life ends, this short life, after that is eternity. Are you prepared? Are you ready for that? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayer of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can this morning to come as we stand and as we sing.